I am called to protect my family and my girls. I say my girls because those of you that know us, we have a little female Shih Tzu Pomeranian, and her name is Yummy. And she is adorable most of the time. She is adorable much of the time. Some of the time. No, but you know, you feel like you want to protect your family. And the other night, literally the other night, a giant flash of light came in through our window. I immediately got up, threw open, literally. I mean, it was just coming right out of me. I'm called to protect my family. I throw open the slider, pitch black outside. So I yell out, I said, "Hey, cut it out. You do that again, I'm calling the cops." The next moment, boom, came the thunder. And I felt like the Lord said, "Do I have your attention now?" Do I have your attention now? Favor with God. He wants your attention. And he's got a few things he wants to say to his people this morning. God steps in. God steps in. Now, 430 years of silence exists between the Old Testament and the New, the intertestamental period. Suddenly, boom, after all these years, God sightings begin to take place, like the furious flash of light that came through the sliders. Luke chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. And I'm just going to refer to the first section of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Many of you remember the names, Zacharias and Elizabeth. He had a temple sighting. A temple sighting. He was a priest in Israel, and it was his turn to go in and burn the incense. They did a rotational schedule, and while he was in there burning incense, the angel Gabriel met with him. And he said, "Zacharias, you and your wife may be old, but your wife's going to have a baby." And Zacharias, the first part of this chapter of Luke, lets us know that Zacharias had trouble getting beyond what he could see into what God says. And he didn't believe God. Now, honestly asking you and me this morning, if you dare to be honest with yourself, does anyone in this room ever have any trouble getting beyond what you see to what he says? God can do anything. There is nothing, I said there is nothing, let me say it southern, I say there's nothing, y'all. Nothing impossible with God. Do you really believe that? Come on, I said, do you really believe that, church? You're a bunch of radical dudes and dudesses then. You really believe that?
Yes.
Nothing's impossible. When the baby is born, they name him John, just as God had said to do. And instantly, Dad can speak again because he did not believe. The angel Gabriel said, "You ain't going to have anything to say until that baby is born." He was struck dumb, is what they say, and he couldn't speak. I want you to know that if you don't believe God's word to you, you'll have nothing and no life to speak. Let it sink in. If you don't believe God's word to you, you won't have any life to bring. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing. Don't say anything at all. Our parents used to say that. How many believe we have a whole nation of people that could use that fresh? Washington, D.C., they could use that phrase. Don't say anything at all. But only God's word brings life. Only God's word brings life that'll really change a heart. Only God's word brings restoration and power, life and deliverance. Only God's word in Jesus. Only God can transform your mind into believing what His word says. How many want to believe what God's word says? He says, I'm healed, I'm healed. He says, I'm delivered, I'm delivered. He said, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. I'm restored, I am restored in Jesus' name. The fruit of the word from God brings a fresh birth in your life. The fruit of the word of God puts a pregnant heart within you and births fresh life. He is able. Let me just say a real straightforward sentence, okay? If I get any closer, Bob, I'll be sitting in your lap, okay? God is able to do what He says He's done, to do what He says He can do. He will fulfill His word in His time, His way, and we need to just simply say, okay. Yes, Lord. Come on, raise your right hand and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe You are able. I believe Your word is true. I believe it. Come on, I believe it. Let's talk about John the Baptist. God can do anything. John the Baptist. Now, the promise was delivered. The promise was fulfilled. And John the Baptist was the baby who was born. He was called and anointed to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. How many remember that the church, early church, was called the Way? And John was called to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, for the church that then followed. John 1:29. John is the best proclaimer of Jesus in His reality, as He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus talks about John in Matthew 11, verse 11. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you," please read it with me, "among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." What's that mean? Do you realize that John is the last of the Old Testament prophets? The last. Been 430 years since other prophets had spoken, and John was the last one to proclaim the Messiah who was to come. Even the casual observer knew that something was going on in Israel. The crowds would go out to the wilderness where John was preaching. They would listen and their hearts would respond. There's a coming Messiah. God's doing something. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And they get baptized afresh. You will find throughout Israel's history, to put that in context, there are many baptisms throughout the ages because baptism was a way of getting their heart ready for the coming move of God. You remember in the Bible, John's baptism wasn't enough. Remember, Paul met certain disciples on the way to Ephesus. He said, "What were you baptized in?" And they said, "John's baptism." And they said, and Paul said, "Okay, there's a whole other thing that's come in the name of Jesus." And he preaches Jesus to them, and they were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus, and their lives were transformed. But how could he be the greatest? Because he saw and declared the Messiah right there. How could he be the least in the kingdom of God? Well, the answer has to do with the fact that John, and this doesn't have to do with your merit or my merit, this has to do with the fact that John never got to see the fulfillment of Jesus going to the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. He never got to see the whole thing. He was just like one of the Old Testament prophets, if you will, that declared the Messiah to come. His life was taken from him. But even the least of us now in the kingdom of God and on this side of the cross, see, there was a cross that came. There was a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And you've got the life-changing truth that all the ages wanted to see. You have the truth, and you have seen what Jesus came to do. Thank God you're on this side of the cross. Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's try that again. Thank God you're on this side of the cross. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Got to get your blood pressure going, apparently. Okay, you're all on, you're cold to the bathrooms? No. But he baptizes him, and he sees the Spirit of God fall on John in the form of a dove, and he knows he's the Messiah, and something powerful is happening, but he never got to personally see the death and the burial and the resurrection. Mary's got a ready heart. Would you turn to verses 26 through the rest of the chapter, through 38? 26 to 38 is where I'm going to go. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Tell me when you're all there. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Hopefully you've brought your Bibles, so I'm not going to put them all up on the screen. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, if you've got your phone or text or however you can do it, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was?
Mary.
Come on, her name was?
Mary.
And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. How many of you might be troubled when that happened? If an angel stands up and he's looking right at you, declaring the word of God, anybody in this room think you might be a little perplexed, a little confused, maybe a little afraid? The first words the angels usually always spoke when it was a good visitation was, "Fear not, fear not. The Lord's with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." I'm in verse 30 now. "For you have found favor with God. For behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Slay it with me, please. Verse 37 of Luke 1. I want you to really proclaim it. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, say it again, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. He says she's highly favored. And then he goes just a phrase later and says the word again. "You have found favor with God." That word literally in the Greek means you've got grace, you've got special honor, special favor, undeserved kindness. It's imparted in the grace of God. How many have received the undeserved kindness of God? We need it. Mary walked in it. Now there are millions of people who venerate Mary to an honored place. I believe we ought to honor and respect Mary, but we should not worship Mary. Mary is not to be worshipped. Mary was not a perfect person, but Mary simply said yes to God. But what I want to look at, it's not your perfection, Mary, it's your heart of response. It's your love and respect for God. He's now given you merciful kindness. So why was Mary favored? We're talking about the favor of God. Why was Mary favored? Number one, Mary sees. Say that with me. Mary sees. Mary sees the angel. She perceives. Mary is no casual observer. The angel stands in front of her, and it's perplexing. It is troublesome to her heart. What's going on now? I've not seen this before. I'm shaking in my boots. Remember the Old Testament section of Daniel some of you have been reading, and the king's knees knock together? Man, if your knees are knocking together that loud that everybody in the room hears the banging of your bones, you're pretty much afraid. And Mary's troubled. She's perplexed. But Mary doesn't run from God. Mary doesn't let fear freeze her. How many times have you allowed fear to freeze up your soul? And the devil loves to throw fear at you. So you'll be frozen in place. And God says, you don't need to be fearful and frozen in place, for God is a God of perfect love that casts out fear. That's one thing to respect and love the awesome power of God. But it's another thing to run in fear and be frozen. That wasn't Mary. Mary didn't know what was happening. She didn't pretend that God had no claims on her life. How many know that today we have a whole society of people that like to think God has no claims on them? Does Jesus have a claim on your life this morning? God's in charge. You know, there are a lot of times people will say, Kev, why did this happen in my life? I don't have any answer. I don't know. I don't have an answer for all of these things, but I can tell you this. God's in charge. He knows you, sees you, loves you, cares. He knows what you're going through. Don't be frozen in place. He's got something in mind for you. He's in charge. She didn't deny something was happening. Mary shows us how to respond. I dare say when God shows up, something happens we don't expect, like the angel of the Lord standing in front of you. Stop long enough to say, okay, I don't know what's happening, but I trust God. Have you faced that in your life at all? Anybody in this room faced a situation that totally took you by surprise? Come on. I know a bunch of you have. Whether it's the passing of a spouse, or whether it's a trouble with children, whether it's a heartbreaking situation, loss of a job. I know you've faced it, and so have I. But instead of cutting, run, denying, or turning a deaf heart, that's pretty good, a deaf ear and a heart that gets cold toward God, say, okay, Lord, I'm not running. Mary saw, she sees, and I'm going to see. Number two, Mary hears. Boom! Jesus has her attention, just like light through the slider. Boom! Have I got your attention now? She's troubled. And that word in the Greek literally means disturbed, holy, and agitated. When Jesus takes you by surprise, that's a legitimate thing that can take place. And it gives you a reason to pause, stop in the presence of the Lord, and say, okay, God, what are you up to? There was a certain bad prophet in the Old Testament that climbed on board his donkey to go to the wrong spot. And an angel, he didn't see the angel. The angel stood in his way, and the donkey kept trying to get him out of the way of the angel. He kept slamming the prophet's leg into the rock wall. And finally, the angel turns around and he goes, what are you doing? Why are you hitting me? Have I ever been a bad donkey to you? How many have ever heard a donkey talk? Now, come on, quit looking at each other. Yeah, I've heard a donkey talk. No. No, but think of the reality of what happened here. The donkey had something to say to him, but he didn't stop long enough. Welcome. He didn't stop long enough to say, I wonder why a donkey's talking to me. I wonder what is up with him. He just talked right back like donkey talks every day. Isn't that amazing when Balaam did that in the scriptures? Have you ever noticed that sometimes we people are more stubborn than donkeys? And God tries to get our attention, and we interact with the thing, but we don't stop to look higher. Say, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? So Mary sees and Mary hears, and she's deliberating. Literally what happens and what the meaning is in the Greek, she's deliberating. She's considering. She doesn't reject. She doesn't put the word of God out of her mind. She doesn't run away from God and live in denial. She doesn't just push God away. She actively engages with the Lord, though she's troubled. We're saying this morning, why did Mary receive favor? She saw, she heard, and number three, Mary received. Mary receives. Gabriel tells her not to be frightened. Again, perfect love casts out fear, the Bible says. God's perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. I was reading a study last night, a psychological study from 2016. There are five powerful things that happens in our brain when we enter in and engage and listen to and embrace a spirit of fear. Powerful things. Now, fight or flight syndrome happens, and that'll keep you alive lots of times. So it's not all negative. But in this case, fear can be debilitating, and Mary didn't allow fear to be debilitating. In fact, what she did is listen for more. When God takes you by surprise in your situation and circumstance, instead of running from it, it's time to say, okay, Lord, tell me more. I don't get it. What do you want to say to me through this circumstance? Mary's wanting to see God. Mary's wanting to hear the Lord. And she got favor because her focus was on Him. Mary received Him. She found His grace, His favor, His righteousness. Give your fear to Jesus. Come on, anybody in this room got any fears at all this morning? All right, a few honest people. Give your fears to Jesus. We're here in the house of God, in the presence of God together. You're here with friends. It's no shame to say, I got some fears in my life. I don't know what's coming next. And we can stand together and say, okay, Lord, every fear I give to you. You can do above and beyond all I ask or think. I just pray you will. Do it, Lord. Mary receives God's presence, the angel visitation, and she keeps pressing for more. Number four, Mary believes. Mary believes. Mary asks a question. How many remember Zacharias asked a question? How can this be? We're too old. But his question was in a completely different spirit than Mary's question. Mary's question was a question of clarification. She didn't say, no, can't be, impossible. It was impossible with man. But say it with me again, all things are possible with God. And Mary just wants to clarify. By the way, this is really cool. When you look at the text, Mary isn't interpreting the word of the Lord inaccurately. She understands this isn't applicable to when Joseph and she are married and she's going to have a baby. She's basically saying, okay, we're not married yet. You're telling me this is going to happen. And she simply says, how can this be since I haven't known a man? And the angel of the Lord gives her an answer. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. God can handle it. I said, God can handle it. I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. I said, God can handle it. The reality is, each of us in life has more than we can handle, oftentimes. Each of us face a situation, a circumstance that's just beyond us. Because the reality is we're people. And as people, if we don't have something to stretch us, we just do what I've done in life, just get fat and sassy. But sadly, we'll allow that to happen. But the Lord in His graciousness and kindness comes along and He says, look, I just want to Get you out of your comfort zone. I just want to get you out of the boat, disciples. I know there's a stormy sea you're going to face. You ever think about that? Kind of a side here. Remember, Jesus has just fed the multitudes. His disciples have helped him. It's been incredible. They've watched the miracles unfold. They must have all been pretty high about that time. Man, did you see what happened? We got 12 basketfuls left over. Thousands are fed. Look at what God can do. Way great, 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 great stuff. And Jesus says, okay, guys, this experience is over. Now, look, I'm going to go over here and pray. You get in a boat. And the Greek, literally, it's like he's pushing him into the boat. You get in the boat, go to the outside. Get in the boat, go to the outside. Oh, okay, wow, okay, Lord, we'll see you soon. They go out in the boat, and pretty soon, there's a storm bigger than any storm they've ever seen on that lake. Come up, the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's a ferocious storm, and these guys, a bunch of them are big, burly fishermen, and they're terrified. Did you ever stop and think about, wonder why the Lord led me there? How come, Jesus, you told me to go out on a boat? Didn't you know there was going to be a storm? And and in fact, the Bible tells us he's sitting up on the hillside watching him, right? And you go, how come, Lord, you've given me more than I think I can handle? Because, he says, I'm going to come walking to you on the water. What you don't think I can do, Jesus says, I delight to do. What you don't think I can handle, I got it all under my control. And he walks out on the water to them, and they're terrified even further, thinking it's a ghost. And he goes, hey, it's me, it's me, it's me. They bring him into the boat with them, and all of a sudden the boat's on the other side. When you're in the stormy sea, be sure to bring Jesus into the boat with you. Let him take you to the other side. Mary sees, Mary hears, Mary receives, and Mary believes. It has to do with a hungry spirit. And God wants to move on each one of our lives. And he wants to take us on, and he's looking for ready, receptive, hungry vessels who say, Lord, Jesus, won't you do something fresh in my life? I want to see you, I want to hear you, and I want to tell you to actively engage with Jesus. If you're here and you've not given your life to Jesus, he loves you so much. Give your life to him today. Actively engage with Jesus. Listen for his voice. Read his word. Come to church. Be strengthened with each other in the presence of the Lord. You go, Lord, my job, or Lord, my health, or Lord, my finances, and or Lord, my family. I've got a kid or a grandkid, a great grandkid. I got somebody in my own family. Lord, I don't understand. And he goes, let me walk with you through this. I love them more than you do. Let me take the heavy end. Bring Jesus into the boat with you. I want to say something to this church, to everybody here. Every eye, right here, please. Jesus is not done with you. Jesus is not done with you. I said, Jesus is not done with you. You look at me and you go, I retired years ago. Jesus says, I didn't retire from you. Jesus isn't done. You've got creative gifts and talents and so many things that you can do to help other people all around you. And whether it's feeding the needy or helping shelter, or whether it's reaching out, and whether it's just sharing the love of God like a cup of cold water in a hot day to somebody who needs him. We are surrounded with people that so much need Jesus. We're not retired. Just get refired. Fired up in the presence of God. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Over the next 31 days of December, I want to urge and encourage you, everybody in this place, I want you to ask God, birth something fresh in me, Lord. Jesus, you want to birth your word in me. Speak to me. Let me hear you. Dig out my ears to hear your voice. Jesus, show me what you want from me. And, oh God, plant your word in my heart, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, just like Mary. Only Mary's response is the one we follow. What did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. My heart responds to you, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Ask him. Fresh word. Pour it into me, Lord. Fresh vision. Fresh direction. And he's got fresh favor for you. Mary sees, she hears, she receives, and believes. Say it with me. I see. I hear. I receive. I believe. Believe that he will do exactly what he promises to you that he will do, and receive the fresh favor of God. Church, can you do that this morning? Can you do that? Jesus is walking on the water and it's a storm, Lord, but Jesus is on the water. Lord, come on into my boat. Get me to the other side and birth that something fresh from my life. Now I'm going to ask you, congregation, if you want something fresh to take place in your life, I want you to stand before the Lord. Musicians, will you come? I want you to stand before the Lord and allow Jesus to do something fresh and powerful in your life. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Now, as we close, the reason you're standing is because you are asking Jesus to move in your life fresh. I just want you to be verified that that's what you're doing. God wants to do something really cool in your life. Now just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, right now you see the hands of everybody in this place. You see who we are. You see where we are. You see our lives. You see that so many times we're out on the boat in the storm and we're struggling. And Lord, Mary was a 13-year-old girl struggling, troubled about this angel that stood in front of her. And yet, Lord, your word birthed something fresh and powerful in her life. And in our lives, you want to do the same. Right now, Lord, we surrender to you. Right now, follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you again today. And I believe you are my Lord and Savior. And I surrender. Lord, birth your fresh purpose. Birth your fresh vision. Birth your fresh direction. Your fresh anointing in my life, O God. I see you. I hear you. I receive you. And I believe you, Lord, for your fresh favor. And all across this room, Lord, over these next days, I believe, Lord, over these next days, we're going to see fresh direction, fresh visitation, fresh miracles, fresh life happen. And Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise. We're going to be careful to share you with each other, because the business you're in is birthing fresh life. We thank you, Lord, for it. And they all said, "Thanks for the blessing, please." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and give you his peace and presence. Lord, bless your people as they go from this place today. In the powerful name of Jesus, they all said, amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, there'll be Brother Bob Jenkins will be right over here to pray for you. There'll be others who join you if you need prayer for healing. Come on up and receive that prayer. We love you. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the presence of God. His love lifted us. Amen.